Praise God. Well, this morning we're going to back into our teaching. We started last week. And this is going to be a little bit different. I had taught, you know, some time in the past, I had taught the subject on Christ the Healer. And this, I have Jesus Christ the Healer. I know this is going to go differently. It's going to be a different area of teaching. The Lord has talked to me about something. I've been over and look at different things, and I just know it's going into it. This is not going to go like I would think. But there's certain things we're going to, from week to week, I have a bunch of things in notes, but I just know when I get read over my notes, I'm thinking, you know, we ain't going to be doing this like this. I just know it's not. You have to listen to what the Holy Ghost is saying. And I just want us to pay attention, or some things that we want an emphasis as we go in here in this teaching, because is we as Christians, we need to get our thinking straight. During the charismatic renewal, God began to move and do some things. And the church was really in many ways in its infancy in a lot of things on the teachings, especially people coming in the kingdom being filled with the Spirit. That was just new to most. And the people who were in Pentecostal churches and stuff had already been filled with the Spirit for years. One of the problems they have, and I see that same problem exists today, because they thought they had arrived and knew things. And they really didn't. There's a lot of things they didn't know. And there's a lot of new things came along. They had a hard time receiving it because of their beliefs that they had at that time, the way they believe things. And people do today, God began to open up some new things. And I see today, people get over and think that they have arrived and they're not learning. They're not moving or progressing beyond. There's things, we need to understand this, that among people who have been taught, like with me, with certain things, there's ways that God is doing things. And if you don't follow it, you may have operated and done well on a certain level, but you won't anymore on that level. You're going to have to progress. God will always demand of His people faith. And He will always lead us to something more, to in deeper into things, you know. And we need to understand that it's not anything bad. This is one of the reasons why we need to get a hold of this, is because any time revivals have come, they usually come from a newer direction and not from the people who before were leaders in the revival. Is the reason is that they get stuck where they're at. They think, well, they're trying to get God to do that again in that manner. And this is one of the things that I talked about last week, and I want to reemphasize this. We have the things, and people sit around and talk about, the major thing that we talk about ministry-wise when we go to healing is praying for the sick. And if you follow Scripture, you follow the New Testament, even Jesus' ministry, they didn't pray for the sick very often. They didn't pray. But see, God let us get away with that stuff because in infancy, we didn't know. You know, we were just doing as best we understood. You know, we're going to have to come up to a higher level. And this is one of the reasons why a lot of healing stopped. Because people are trying to continually do something, and God has a better way. And I said last week, is some of the people who left the scene back in the late 40s, who had prophesied about a move of God that would come to in the end, and said it would be a move of the Word and the Spirit. And during the 1950s healing revival, a lot of the ministers at that time, they only ministered over in the areas of gifts of the Spirit, and they looked at everything in the Spirit. And a lot of them didn't know certain stuff about the Word. Most of them didn't know about just believing God for healing. You know, it had to come through a gift of the Spirit. And you need, it's amazing what God did for people in operation because of what people didn't know. But you need to understand this. And I picked this up from Kenneth Hagin, and I learned and found it's true. You know, most of you are never going to get healed by a gift of the Spirit. It's never going to happen. You have no need to. You have the Word to believe. That's the highest level. You believe the Word. You don't need, God don't want to come back, have to come along and give a special gift for you because you can't believe. He's not going to do that. We need to understand this. Kenneth Hagin's teaching on this has really helped me out a lot. Is we need to know the difference between how God ministers to the world and how He ministers to the church. He don't minister. See, we have the thing all together, you know. People who are baptized in the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Ghost, they want to go to Benny Hinn's meeting and get healed like the world does there. It's not going to happen. It don't take place like that. We need to understand that. Oral Roberts and them, they figured that out toward the end of the 50s and into the 60s because they found this out. They did studies about, and what they did is they would send cards out to people who were ministered at their meetings. I mean, they would be thousands upon thousands upon thousands. I think they sent out something like 8,000 something of these cards to people who were ministered at a couple of their meetings. And so they paid postage things, but this thing they sent out to them afterwards, because people had to fill things out, give their address to be able to get in the line to get healed. And they wanted to find out about people getting healed. And so what they did is they asked people, they had people were healed, they asked if a person was healed, are they still healed? They asked them, like, they found out, were you a Christian? Some of them said no. They went in the lines and got healed. They weren't even a Christian. Others were, like, say, maybe denominational people. They didn't really whatever taught about the baptism, the Holy Ghost, and healing. And anyhow, they went down through to check out, and they had people who were come out of Spirit-filled churches who were baptized in the Holy Ghost. Do you know how many of them got healed and were still healed after 30 days? 7%. Why? God didn't expect to minister them in the same way that he did to those other people who didn't know. Now those other people, God moves in them. Now he's going to expect things out of people. We never think, without faith you can't please him. If you have to go and get it like the person who don't know how to believe, you're not pleasing to God. See, this is not criticism. It's just the way it works.
Amen.
Do you know, if I worked on a job, jobs I worked on. See, I worked at Reese. I was HP Reese Kennedy for 13 years. If I would have went in every day and want to work like the guy that just got hired, what do you think they'd have thought about that? Well, we'd think that's normal. We'd get upset if we were on a job and we had a guy working with us, act like he never knew anything, and we're always having to do his work. Well, it's the same thing. Wouldn't you think God get a little upset over this stuff? You need to understand, these are the things, because we go into this stuff. If we're going to minister to people in healing, we got to learn to listen and not just act because a person says so. We got to learn to listen. Listen to the Holy Ghost. And we need to pay attention. You see, a Christian, like we are as born again, we're redeemed from the curse of the law. The world's not. God is going to do differently to reach the world than he is you. You're redeemed from the curse of the law. See, you need to learn this. We have all this stuff in a bag. We just shook it up, put it, everybody's the same. No, it's not. It's not that. It does never operated that way. You're redeemed from the curse. God's going to minister you in expectation. See, you're redeemed from every ugly thing, from every sickness, every disease, your poverty, whatever. You're redeemed from it. God's going to minister you in a way, in expectation of you to do something, because you should know you're redeemed. Amen. He expects something out of the redeemed. The world's not redeemed from the curse. They are sick or poor for a completely different reason. It's because they're living in a cursed earth. You're not. You're not. So you need to get this in your head. You need to get a hold of this, because see, many Christians, this is why it's Jesus in the communion, like next Sunday we'll take communion. But in the communion table, you know, it said, if you go over to the Corinthians and writing to the Corinthians, he said they didn't rightly discern the body. He didn't say they didn't rightly discern the blood. He said they didn't rightly discern the body. What the body of Christ was for. The body of Christ was to redeem you from sickness and disease. People don't live in the light of that. Christians are living like they're trying to get God to get sickness off of them when he says we're redeemed from it. See, there's a whole different level. We need to come to a higher level. We need to come to a place of a higher level. And we're trying to get, it's like the Lord said to me back years ago. He said, my people keep trying to get from me what I've already given them. We're not receiving things. We're trying to get him to give it to us. We're not receiving. It's already there. It's mine. I can receive it.
Amen.
You know, what already belongs to you? You know, I'm not trying to get what it belongs to me. I don't go down the bank and beg for money. I go down and got plenty of it in accounts. I can go down and get it when I want it. But they go down and say, well, I don't know if you want to give me our money. Say, you want me to come back with a gun? You'll be given money. That's my money. You know, it's like, come on, people. But when it comes to receiving from God, we're wimpy and whiny. We're wimpy like we're trying to get something he doesn't want to give. We need to understand. We're going to look at some things because what he wants me to do is this. I want to look at some things of Scripture on God's expectation. He ministered differently to different people in different ways. And we need to understand, and we'll look at why. See, we go and read these things and talk about God healing, but nobody, you know, generally doesn't explain. I don't know if sometimes I don't think ministers know. I don't think they understand what's going on. But we sort of put all this stuff in, like I said, in a bag, and we shake it up, we pour it all out, have it all, you know, the same. It's sort of like, you know, if you go to if you go into, say, like a most larger churches today, like even the Spirit-filled, you go in. There's very little what we would call believers' meetings. See, we're here this morning. This is not an evangelical. I'm not here trying to get people saved. This is a church service this morning. See, Sunday services used to be for the Christian. They're not anymore. We've turned them into evangelistic, and the Christians never get fed. They don't get fed at all. These are the things we're doing is I'm talking to Christians. I ain't talking to the world here. I'm not speaking to the world. I'm talking to us Christians. That's who we're talking to. See, there's a difference in the type of meetings you want to have and do things. They're throwing all of it in and trying to have one meeting and everything, and it don't work. Oh, they get people and get numbers. Why? Because it's all fluff. My God, if those sinners actually heard the truth of the Bible, there's tons of them would run out the door. It's all about getting crowds and doing things, but we're wanting a move of God. See, what God wants you to have is a move of God Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That's what he wants you to have. He don't want you to have a move here on a Sunday morning.
Amen.
Sunday morning is this, that you know, you get them and eat, so you have strength. But you got to better be feeding yourself during the week.
Amen.
Don't be surprised. You can wait till the end of the week, you know. You know, thank God I found out you got to put it there. You got to get yourself and hallelujah. So you got to keep yourself built up. If you don't, you won't.
Amen.
But we get together and we're lacking in that today. We don't have believer services and that stuff. See, I found out years ago that's Sunday mornings were believer services. That's what they were. It was for the believer. The believers would come and they would have teaching and preaching. And they had Sunday school. And then you had the church service and that stuff, and you had those things. They were geared toward the church. Now, we would have our churches we went to, they had what they called revival meetings. Those were more of evangelistic things and trying to reach people. We don't do that today. Today, everything's all the same in one and produces very little. Why? Because God can't get involved. There's not enough to promote anything for a move of God. See, there's one thing, like in these Sunday mornings, I can get anointing on me here because I'm focused in a certain direction. That's it. I ain't trying to reach everybody here today. That's not what it's for. Actually, my ministry is not for the world. I mean, I can still witness to people. I can do things. It's for the church. That's what it's for. And most ministers, they think they don't know what they're called to. You know, we have this shot that we throw out there and that stuff. Whatever the people want and works for the people and keeps them happy and that kind of stuff. But see, people aren't getting fed.
Amen.
And we need to understand the importance of that. You know, God raised up a lot of teaching ministries back, you know, years ago, and he raised them up because the churches weren't feeding and the churches, ministers ain't got any better at it. They still don't feed. And that's why, you know, when I listened to Kenneth Hagin, so the Lord said, he said, I didn't start Rhema because this was the best thing. He said, I did this, started Rhema because the churches weren't raising ministers up. Wow, you can't. Today they can't raise up ministers. They'll raise fluff up today, but they won't raise up ministers. They want people taught well enough. We got to send them off to somebody else, get them taught. It's funny, but why we don't see it. We want a move of God. In this flow of God, we want to step into it. We should be, as the church, especially us, we should be stepping in on a higher level than others do. Mm-hmm. And I believe God expects it of us.
Amen.
I'm not looking for, there's all kinds of people, they want a move of God. They want a move of God because they can't get God to move in their life at all. They can't get God to move. They can't get nothing. So they're trying to get a move of God. See, you can have a, you don't have to wait for a revival start to have a move of God. I can get God moving in my life. I know how to do it.
Hallelujah.
You can have your own revival, you know. The world don't have revival. Revival is not for the world, it's for the church. The church gets revived. The world don't get revived. They get born again. They're dead. We're getting revived. In other words, we're getting, supposed to be getting something breathed into us. Amen. That's what revival is about. Amen. The breath. Something breathed into you. Hallelujah. So I say this world, the church, the average Christian ain't breathing well at all. They're not breathing good. Well, we want to breathe well. But we want to be able to minister to people. I said last week about this because years ago, back decades, they don't say it much anymore, but they had this saying, speaking of the moving in the areas of healing, where they wanted to reach out to people, and especially if we want to reach out toward the lost and the people who don't know about healing, even Christians that don't know about it, they used to call it, they would ring the healing dinner bell. They called healing was the dinner bell to reach people. You know, you shouldn't need the healing dinner bell rung for you to get you. You can believe, you can ring your own bell. You don't have to have, you can do that. You believe, we can believe and learn to ring our own bell. We don't have to have somebody else ring a bell for us. But we're going to have to ring a bell. Where that came from was because of farmers years ago. All over the nation it was like that. But when I worked on the farms as kids, the older farms and that, a lot of them still had up when I was a kid, they'd still have a post out there with a bell on it. And what they would do is you'd work out in the fields. You'd be out in the field working. And, you know, you didn't wear your watch out there. You didn't have that out. You actually worked. You know, your watch would have probably fell apart out there if you, the stuff you had to do and the work that you did. But they didn't have watches. You didn't do that. And when you know dinner, lunch, we call it lunchtime. That was dinner, you know. Then we had supper those days. Well, they would go out and ring that bell and you would know if you were out there working, hey, it's time to go in. The ladies are calling us. Food's ready. And so we'd go in and eat. And so they would do that. Well, and they use that term concerning healing, bringing people to Christ, as ringing that bell. But we have to know how to ring the bell. And I'm going to tell you what, it ain't just going to be, well, let's pray for the sick. We have too much of this pray for the sick stuff. People come up, they have a problem, and just pray for me and that stuff. We never check out to find out what a thing that person's believing, whatever. No, we just pray and mostly get nothing. Don't get much out of it. This is why it's a thing, you know, the Bible says if two agree is by touching anything else. We throw this thing out there of prayer. We never ask a person, why? Because we don't want them to feel uncomfortable. And I don't want to feel uncomfortable because I wouldn't know why I'd be saying that too. But we don't find out with people. People come and they think, well, you know, now James said, talked about the prayer of faith. Let me tell you what James said from. P.C. Nelson, who was, in his day, was like one of the top in the nation in, with the Greek language. And he talked about it, and I read after others, it said the same thing. Where James was talking about calling for the elders of the church, it said, you know, if any among you sick, call for the elders of the church. They said the idea of that in the Greek, is that somebody, you know, like say a young Christian that don't know how to help themselves. Call for the elders of the church. You pray the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith heals the sick, not the oil. Prayer of faith heals the sick. That wasn't for, that was for if somebody came along and don't know how to do something themselves. You see, the prayer of agreement's a whole, you know, you can't come and ask me for the prayer of agreement if you don't know how to pray the prayer of faith. Amen. You can't ask me to join you. See, we the prayer of agreement's a whole different ballgame. The prayer of agreement's about two people coming together, they believe exactly the same thing. Identically. That's the prayer of agreement. James isn't talking about the prayer. He was talking about somebody getting healed on the prayer of the elder. You can't get that done here. You can't get me to just use my faith for you and you not use it. You can't have that happen here. It won't work for you. But now, there's one thing you and I can operate on. And really, it's top shelf. It's the prayer of agreement. Oh, Jesus said anything, yes, I'm in the midst of it. Do you get any better than that? we're trying to use our faith to do things for people that they are not in faith with. We're not even trying to bring them to faith on the stuff. We're not teaching anybody anything. We're trying to make a move of God through unbelief. I don't know how to put it in another way. But we need to stop and say, hey, hold it. And ask people. People say, well, you know, I'm having a problem. Pray for me. Pray for you what? Well, I want a healing. Person's a Christian. You should. Well, you're a Christian. You're a child of God. Well, do you believe? What's going to happen when I pray? What's going to take place? Do you ever ask him, what's going to take place when I pray? The average Christian, the average spiritual Christian will look at you like, you ask him. Brother Hagin said he used to do this, and they had healing. I said, when he ministered in churches, there wasn't like saying when he would go out and hold convention type things where just so many people, but he'd always say people come to be prayed for. And he'd ask if they want healing. He'd say, what scripture? He'd talk to church people. And that's his church people. What scripture are you standing on? And he said, inevitably, they would just stop and they'd have to think and think. See, they wouldn't, people have no, but we promoted this kind of stuff. The church has promoted this thing. You know, you got to come, we'll get it for you. We're so nice, we'll just pray. We want to be such nice people, we'll let them die. Because we're so darn nice. You know, we won't stop and say, you know, people, well, where are you standing on? Right. Well, what are we praying about? What are we doing? We're church people. We're supposed to be in agreement. There should be something different about us. Amen. There should be something going on. And I want you to see this as we're going to look at. We're going to look at two areas today. The first one, I want you to go over to John, the fourth chapter. John, the fourth chapter. We're going to read through this. I'm just telling you how it works. If you understand that, see, God has great confidence that you can believe Him and do things. Amen. He believes you can. God did not start a system that was difficult. Having faith isn't difficult. Faith comes by hearing the Word. You can have it or turn it down. I mean, it just determines what we want to do with it, whether we want to believe it or not. And so, it's one thing is, if you lack courage, it's because you lack faith. As your faith gets stronger, you get more courage. Amen. You get bolder. Hallelujah. You just get bolder. I mean, that's just the way it is. You know, I found out that way. The more I act toward faith, toward the anointing on me, the stronger the anointing gets. Amen. And the more God's able to reveal stuff to me while I minister. See, if you don't know what you're gifted for and you're gifted to do, you won't know what to believe God for. He's going to operate through you. You don't know. You got to find out. And this is important. What we want to do is I want you to see this. God wants you to learn to listen, because when people come along and they're asking for something, want something, we need to listen to the Spirit to know. If the Spirit doesn't say anything, we can just act on what the Word says generally to do. But we're going to find out Jesus didn't minister that way to people. Just in general, just throw it out there. There's reasons that He did. Now, in the fourth chapter, we're going to look here at something. I'm going to start at John, the fourth chapter, in verse 46. It says this, that so Jesus came again to Canaan of Galilee, where He had made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. It says when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. The nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servant met him and told him, saying, your son lives. Then he inquired of him the hour when he got better. And they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at that same hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives. And he himself believed, and his whole household. Now, we want to talk about this because we're going to talk about another, about a centurion. But here we see this. Here an individual comes to Jesus and he said, look, my son's dying. Hurry up and come to my house. Jesus don't go to his house. Jesus didn't do what the guy asked. He didn't do it. Jesus made a statement about this nobleman. Now, I'm going to tell you, this nobleman was a Jew. He was a Jewish guy. And I know by what Jesus said here. This is why you need to study the Bible. We need to understand who's Jesus doing to and why does he do what he says. He said, oh, you guys just always got to see a sign. See, if you ever studied and followed Jesus in the Gospels, it's one thing is he talked to the Jews because he told them. They'd always come and ask him for a sign. He'd say, you guys want a sign? You're going to get a sign. The sign of Jonah being 3 days in the belly of the whale. That's your sign. They always wanted a sign. Jesus is running around healing people, raising them from the dead, and the Pharisees comes out. Give us a sign that you're who you are. I mean, how dumb can you get? I mean, those poor guys, they couldn't even get themselves healed, much less anybody else, and they're running around. We got to have a sign. So I'd have gave them a stop sign or something. Here you go. That's a sign. No parking. Get out of here. Take your donkey and move it. But see, they wanted a sign. We know he's not. He said no. See, he is ministering to somebody who has a covenant who is walking in unbelief. He's not acting like he has a covenant with God. You know the Jews had a healing covenant? See, this guy's a nobleman. He's a leader. Not acting like a leader. And so Jesus does not respond to him in the same manner. Why? He's a covenant guy with a healing covenant. The Jews had a healing covenant. They would obey the word of God and that stuff. He said he'd take sickness away from them. They're not walking in the light of that. You need to understand, as we talked about this before, this is why the Jews were not didn't like healing on the Sabbath, because they relegated healing to the doctors. That's what they had done. So it was work to heal on the Sabbath. It's what we've done today. The most spirit-filled people have relegated healing to the doctors. Now, we don't say you can't do it on a Sunday, because we'll do anything on a Sunday. On any day of the week. We don't do it, but we still relegated healing. This is one of the reasons we understand there's too much been relegated to doctors is why people can't get healed. They're relegating too much. Their first things that people think is doctor, doctor, doctor. You need to get around the fact where you get thinking right, where this becomes your way of life, not just when something happens. This is why things don't work. See, we've learned to do this. We've learned to put up with things as long as we can get by with it. And then when it gets serious and the doctor says, I can't do anything, gee, let's believe Jesus. See, it don't work that way. It doesn't work like that. See, you start to learn. You know, the first thing you respond, you know, there was that Asa who died because he sought the physician rather than God. See, he had a healing covenant. First thing this guy's a leader. God had done miracles for King Asa and turned the nation around and did all this stuff. And Asa runs up in trouble and he runs right to man to get fixed. And he died because of it. See, I remember Kenneth Hagin saying this. He said, some people will die because they don't go to the doctor, and some will die because they do. See, there's some people we know better and don't do no better, and we wonder why things don't get changed. Look, this isn't a scold to anybody. It's life. It's the way it works. I can't, you know, if you want to hear another story, go to another church. They'll tell you whatever you want to hear, but I'm just telling you the way it operates.
Amen.
We need to get thinking right in our minds. It has to become a way of life of thought, not when something happens, that Jesus is this sideline thing we jump into. The rest of our life, we're just getting along as best we can and we work it out. No, it can't be like that. It doesn't work in that manner. See, we got to get ourselves a thought. Our thoughts could be that our God heals. Man, that's His thing He loves to do. My God, Jesus went a lot of trouble to redeem us from the curse. We ought to make it a huge big deal, but the church hasn't made it a huge big deal. We haven't, you know, put it out there, you know, where God wants us well. No, we'll sit, well, this and that. We get all of our ideas. Something ain't working. Oh, for some reason, God. No, it wasn't some reason, God.
Amen.
Never was some reason, God. We got to get it over to think, if it ain't working, something's wrong with Ed. Something's wrong with me. I've had to deal with that numbers of times. And if you haven't dealt with it, you're messed up. We got to deal with ourselves. We got to deal with ourselves. Why isn't it working? Why doesn't it work? You see, we need to come over it. There's nothing wrong with it. Everybody's going to have to. See, this is why the world has a different cause why they're sick than why Christians are sick. Christians have to walk in the light if they're redeemed from the curse. And if they don't, they're going to have problems. See, we need to understand the difference between the two. We just threw it all in the bag and everybody, you know, we don't study the Bible to find out. We just throw everything together. We listen to what some preacher said out here. Man, you got to find out why things work and don't work. I don't know. I'm just really interested in it. When it don't work, I'm just really interested why things are not working. It's one thing as I'm looking as people down there want to move a God, want to move a God, want to move a God. And many people want to move a God because they can't have one in their own life. God, you need to move because I ain't. We need to, in our own lives, hallelujah, have a move of God. We need to be people, no matter what's going on out here in this world, that God answers our prayers.
Amen. Hallelujah.
We want to be there. We don't wait for a revival to get prayers answered. Is that what we got to wait for? When does the Bible become true? See, as God wants us to come that place. This guy here, he comes along. He says, come to my house. Jesus, what does Jesus do? Jesus gives him a rebuke. See, this guy Jesus expects more out of. See, this is where, you know, some people you ain't helped at all. They needed a rebuke. And you knew it, but wouldn't do it.
Amen. Preach.
And you know what? They didn't get delivered because of you. Better duck down behind here. No, I'm just telling you. Why? Because this guy here, Jesus rebuked him. Now, you always want a sign. He said, your son lives. Get out of here. The guy goes, but the guy's smart enough. Okay, I'm heading home. Now, I know this. This guy didn't have a bunch of faith because we found him and his household believed after he found out it worked. But you know what he did? He did act on what Jesus said. You see, most people will never act on a thing. They're trying to wait to some place where they feel comfortable to act. I don't know where that place is. So you know, like last night, I decided I'm going to get all upset and worry about this thing. And I thought, no, just, you know, it is what it is. And you just, well, you just got to do it. You got to get over it and say, I have a way I have to act. I can't act a certain way.
Amen.
You can't act certain ways. You can't do it. Because you do, you just kicked yourself in the shins. You know, you didn't have to wait for somebody else to come do it. You did it. And then they'll say, well, the devil. No, I'm sorry, it wasn't the devil. You was your devil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. No, but I want you to see. So Jesus didn't respond to this guy. He responded to him according to what this man. Understand what he did? He's getting this guy to move toward faith. Jesus isn't trying to hurt him. Mm-hmm. Jesus wants him to get what he wants. But Jesus is requiring a man in the covenant to move toward faith. He'll always do that to you. Number one, and if you don't use it, don't expect.
Amen.
Don't expect. You know, I've said this for years. We put too much pressure on doctors to take care of us. The spirit-filled Christians, the people know about being redeemed, the curse of the law, put too much pressure on doctors to perform for them. They ain't God. You're supposed to be believing God. You and I believe God. That's what we do. We shouldn't expect them to be able to get everything right and do everything just for us. I expect that out of the world. The world will act like that. They'll do it because they ain't got nothing else.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
See, we need to be using our faith all the time.
Amen.
I see too many Christians, they don't go to the doctor by faith. They just go by what the doctor can do. They don't go by faith. This time, I've been around and I've seen doctors make tons and tons of mistakes. You better not. You know, almost 200,000 people die every year in hospitals, but going in the United States, go to a hospital and die of something they didn't go in for.
Amen.
Some studies say it's higher than that. You better learn to go by faith. Why? It's number one, we should never expect man to have perfection. Never.
Amen.
You should never expect out of a person what we could expect out of God. But we do all the time. Somebody's supposed to take care of me. Hallelujah. That's good preaching anyhow. Now, but I want you to, now we're going to look over, because in Matthew 8, I want us to take over. We're going to look at this centurion. We're going to look at a guy who doesn't have a covenant with God. He is a Gentile. He's a Gentile. And we want to see how God, because understand, Jesus said he didn't say anything that the Father didn't say, and he didn't do anything he didn't see the Father do. So Jesus is operating here as God. He is operating just like any other human being. He has to listen, just like he's ministering to people, but he has to be listening to the Father, what the Father's saying to do. He's ministering to someone. So now let's look at this story. Here with this story, it says in Matthew, the 8th chapter, verse 5 says, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. So here's this centurion. He is a Roman soldier. Now here's, if you take from a Jewish standpoint, I mean, the Jews hated the Romans. I mean, here's a guy who's a Roman centurion. He comes to Jesus. And one of the things, the most wonderful revelation that you can get from this thing, it's a great teaching point you can do from here. But we want to see how Jesus, he comes, he tells Jesus what his situation is. Now here he's dealing, he has a servant. His servant is paralyzed and he's dreadfully tormented. Now, and so Jesus says to him, I will come and heal him. Now what's Jesus respond to him? See, this guy's outside the covenant. Jesus said, this guy comes, he didn't even ask Jesus to come. Jesus said, I'll come to your house. What do you do to the other guy? Come to my house? Ain't no come to your house. You need a sign. And I'm giving you a sign. Here's your sign. Your son lives. Take the sign and go home. But he's not dealing with this man in this matter. Why? This guy's outside the covenant. But this guy has a wonderful revelation, and we need to learn to pick up on it here. But he says to Jesus, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come in under my roof, but only speak the word and my servant will be healed. Why did he tell Jesus he wasn't worthy to come under his roof? He's not just being a nice, humble guy. He knows this. He's a Gentile. Jews will not come into his house. They won't go in a Gentile's house. Jews would not go into a Gentile's home. Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. He said, no, don't do that. You know, you don't have to do that for me. Because according to the Jews, he wasn't worthy that a Gentile would come into his house. See, if you don't understand, you don't understand what's going on here. See, you need to understand these things because this has to do with faith. Why? And what's he doing? This guy doing? Now listen, this guy, here he is. He comes along. He makes this statement, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those following, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Now I want you to see Jesus doing this. His disciples are following, and these guys are listening to his teaching all the time, and he tells them, you know, this guy got more faith than any of you guys got. In other words, he just told them he has not found one Jew all his time being around Jews. I haven't found one Jew got the faith this dude has. Well, how did this guy get this faith? Because this guy had a revelation that is not in the church today. We talk more about being in authority, but we should talk more about being under authority. See, the authority we have is not ours. It's given to us. We're under the authority of Jesus Christ to operate this earth. See, my authority isn't for me to throw out there for any, you know, time I want to just do something or anything like that is my authority. He understands this. He says to Jesus, he said, look, I'm a guy under authority. If I tell somebody to go do this, they go do it. If I tell somebody to go there, Jesus listens to this guy because this guy understands how it operates. And Jesus made this statement then. On top of all of this, Jesus says in verse 11, he said, and I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out in outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said, you're the sons of the kingdom. the people that are outside, where they won't, you Jews won't go into their house. There's going to be more of them coming in than you guys, and some of you guys ain't going to make it. Phew, that's good preaching. See, Jesus didn't say all this cute stuff. These are the ones, you know, they got always the pictures of him. He's carrying the sheep. They never saw him with a rod. You know, they never show him knocked a guy on the head with a rod, did they? But he did it. He got hit. He got his nice little disciples follow him. And he makes a statement like this. Then he said, then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way. As you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. He told him, go ahead, your son's well. In other words, what you wanted, I'm doing it for you. But you understand, Jesus is dealing with this guy. First, I'll come. The guy tells him what he wants, and he says, okay, we're going to do it your way. But see, we need to understand who he's dealing with here. He don't deal with the same as that nobleman. This guy's been born a Jew, raised up on all this stuff of the law, trying to get it like the Gentile. And it comes to it, the Gentile guy's doing better. Lots of times people don't understand that. I've watched people and I've watched Christians get upset because they'll say, well, this guy over here is, how comes God did this for him? And, you know, he don't do this and heal and I do this and I do that. Well, God ain't going to heal you because your works are so darn good. I don't care how often you do whatever it is you think you're doing. It's so wonderful. It's like these people think and keep listening to ministers. You just keep giving money. You know, God will bless you. Well, you get over it. You better get some faith. Money will come to you by faith. If you think giving's the only thing, man, you definitely need a dip because they've got a hold of your wallet. We need to get past this stuff. It's about faith. It's about faith. Get over your faith. Believe in God. That's what you want to walk at. God is always going to be trying to move people. When God heard, when the Lord Jesus heard this guy, he marveled at this guy. Wow. Listen to this. Jesus marveled when he said it. He said, I'm a guy under authority. I tell you, in other words, he said to Jesus, if you tell sickness to go, you don't have to show it at my house. You have authority over sickness. You're the guy with authority over sickness. Do you really believe Jesus' authority over sickness? Well, he gave you his name. See, do you talk to the sickness or do you keep talking to God about your problem? Da, 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 you know? You see what it is? I want you to get this. See, we can act on a higher level.
Amen.
We keep trying to do what the world is trying to do. And we just keep trying to do it and act like we're doing some kind of big spiritual thing, and we're not. This guy said, hey, I tell a servant to go do this. You know what a Roman centurion told a guy to do something, he didn't do it? He put him to death. You see, use the name of Jesus. I mean, the devil has to back down. Do you think sickness gets to hang around and say, well, no, we don't have to go. We don't have to live them. But see, we need to get under the authority of Jesus Christ. We need a revelation from the Scriptures. We need to get into things till we get to the point that we believe concerning this authority that we're under. See, nobody has authority. We go today, there's nobody, like any place I ever worked for, I was under authority. If I had a job and I was in charge, I was under authority. I wasn't the guy in authority. The guy that in authority was over me. But he got his authority from somewhere. Authority comes from someplace. And see, you're going to decide what authority you're submitted under. And are you going to yield to his authority? Or are you going to yield to the world and the flesh and what the authority says it is? Do we yield to just maybe what the doctor says? His authority. We decide the authority we yield to. We decide that. And we need to understand that. You know, I understood when I worked at Reese Candy Cup, I understood, you know, they wanted certain things done. I was under authority to do within the bounds of my authority was given by them. I could do, did certain things and that stuff, and I could operate under that authority. Outside of that, I wasn't operating in my authority. Things that I weren't responsible for. And that's where you have people all the time. They put you in charge because you're always trying to keep people in order because they're always trying to operate outside of bounds of authority. That's why you have to have supervisors. Because if you don't have them, the people are always trying to do things outside the authority they got. They're always trying to run the show when you have no authority to do it. Always telling everybody else what to do in another department or another person that has nothing to do with them. Say, why don't you shut up and get over in your department and keep your blab mouth shut? Oh. Well, I think it ought to be, they aren't interested in what you think. If they were, you'd have been in charge. They're trying to tell you they didn't put you in charge because they don't care. As I learned that, hey, there's things that they weren't interested in. You knew what to do. I didn't say anything. Just let them do what they're doing. This is my job. My job ain't to correct everybody. Just think about that. God knows the answer to everything. Does he just butt into your life and just do whatever he wants anytime he wants to? No. Why do we try to do that? You know who does that? The devil. Ooh, it's good preaching. Sometimes you just got to let people shoot themselves in the foot. You might even want to load the gun for them. Ever been there? You just got to let them mess up. You know? If they don't want to listen. You know, some people, they just, the average person learns through hard knocks.
Amen.
You know, I have learned things by the mistakes I've made, but it wasn't God's best. I made some mistakes I wouldn't have had to make if I had walked in the light of what I had. I wouldn't have made the mistakes. But I sure did learn when it fell apart what I did wrong. And I learned, but it sure wasn't a fun way to learn, was it?
Nope.
But people tend to want to do that, you know? Make mistakes. It's good to, hey, if you make mistakes and you don't learn from them, you're the real idiot. You're the real idiot. Hallelujah. But we need to come to this place. We're under authority. And we see this. When we minister, one of the things the Lord wants me to get across, you need to listen and understand who you're, when God, somebody comes along, who are you dealing with and what are you dealing with the person? Who are you dealing with? People ask for prayer and people ask for things and they want this, that, the other thing. Yes, you just join in. We're going to minister to people. We need to become wise.
Amen.
You were given the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is in us to make us wise, to make us smart in dealing with people and that stuff. See, we don't just want to just throw things out there and that stuff. We have these things today. It's just people just come and they want to, you know, and I see it all the time. We're going to pray for the sick. Well, is that what God's saying to do? See, we need to know, is God saying to pray for the sick? Is that what he's saying? You know, sometimes, and you find this, is one thing is I've learned this over time. You know, I don't have all the time, like with us here and that stuff, you know, asking people if they want prayer for the sick. If you want prayer, you need to ask. You need to use your faith. I'm just going to be straight about it. You know, we ain't playing 2-year-olds here and that stuff. We got to pat and pet people. If we do, yeah, this stuff ain't going to work.
Amen.
If you want somebody to join you in faith, want somebody to agree with you, you know how to ask.
Amen.
I ain't going to pet. Well, I'm going to ask just in case, you know, the people sitting around and won't say anything. Well, I don't want to say anything. It embarrasses me. Well, then stay sick or whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
That'll embarrass you enough. You understand? You see, we got to get past this babyhood Christianity. We got to get around where you're stepping out in your faith. See, I've learned this over the time. You got to make an act toward faith.
Amen.
See, a person is not going to really believe anything's going to happen to them if they won't ask to be prayed for, yet they want it. They're just telling you, I ain't really got faith this thing's going to work. If you thought it was going to work, say, hey man, pray for me. We're going to get this thing working. Nah. No, I'm going to stay home because I don't feel good because there ain't no healing at church. The pastor don't have to call us up to get healed all the time, so I can't. You know what I'm trying to do? Trying to get you to act on your faith and quit talking about it like you have set faith. You ain't acting on it, you ain't got it. If you ain't acting on it, faith without corresponding action is dead. Is dead. Act on it. Hallelujah. See, we got to look, folks. We have a wonderful opportunity as a small group is to be leaders.
Amen.
We don't need more people coming in here, and nobody wants to lead. They don't want to step out and say, "Hey, praise God! I believe you pray for me. What are you going? God's going to do something."
Hallelujah.
How are you going to inspire people to faith when there ain't no faith shown?
Great preaching.
Hallelujah.
Great preaching.
See, we inspire people. And see, we need to come out of it, because this is the charismatic culture we got going. And it stinks. It stinks. In fact, it's gotten worse than what it was when I came in the kingdom. People are more outgoing about it and after it more than they are today. People who sat under it, come up under it, are worse off today than what they were. They are today. They're worse off. They don't act. They don't, you know. We just stay over in the natural. People need help. They just sit around. It ain't working. They won't stop and say, hey, what's wrong? It ain't working. They won't. No, let's just keep faking like we have faith in this thing's work. And things just keep getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And the pastor ought to come and wave a wand or something to figure out what's going on. If you ain't got enough gumption to figure out what's going on, God probably won't talk to me. Mm-hmm. And many times I've had God talk to me and it wasn't to go tell the person a thing, because there wasn't no point. God just tells me for my information. Over the years, I have known sometimes for numbers of years in advance the people were going to die. I've known for numbers of years. I've often watched to see what's going to happen. The person never makes a change. Just keeps going along in the same and same, and it ain't working. Just keeps going along, keep going along. I'm wondering, when's that going to change? When are they going to change? I have people on the inside and outside of this church. I've watched them. You know, and eventually it happens. Getting people to, they just keep going along. They don't ever stop and say, why ain't this working? What's going on? They don't ever ask. You know? They don't ever have a come to Jesus moment. They say, well, I believe the word and I read the Bible every day and I pray. I praise God. And I do. It ain't working. What question? I'll tell you what. Lots of times I have more questions than praise some days. Because I want to know. Because when I get the answer to those, boy, are we going to praise? What I need is some answers, hallelujah, so I can do some shouting. I got the answer, glory. I know what's going wrong. I know what's happening. Glory to God. You need to want to come to there. Every one of us need to know things. Every one of us.
Amen.
We sit silent. We want to be embarrassed. Because, well, I want everybody to think I'm smart. Well, I gave that up a long time ago. I tell you, that's why I'm called special ed. That's me. Hallelujah. If it ain't for the Holy Ghost. I'm sorry, if it ain't for God.
Amen.
I gave it up. I've tried a lot of my wisdom things.
Amen.
Since I've been a Christian. I've tried a lot of them. I'll tell you what. Oh, boy. God's smart.
Amen.
I just don't know. I got a lot of time. God, why is it? Why is this or that? What's going on? How do we? What don't we see? What don't we know? You see, I want to know. I want a move of God, but I want us to flow in that move of God. I don't want us to be. God has to move so we can just do something.
Amen.
I want us to be in a flow with Him. I want us to understand. I want us to hook up. See, we're getting into these areas. We need to get over where we're listening to what the Spirit says. You know, we've got to slow down. Mm-hmm. We got to stop this thing just because somebody asked for something. We got to do something right away. Mm-hmm. We got to stop this thing. If they ain't got time to stop, then tell them to go on.
Amen. Preach.
See, too many people, no, just give me a quick prayer and that stuff and this thing's going to work. Well, good luck on that one. You can't devote more time to other things than you do God.
Amen. Preach.
See, whatever you devote your time to is what you get good at.
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't know. I've been in ministry all my life. You know, you asked Wanda, how much time did I spend with God when I got saved and got started off? I mean, I might as well have been in the ministry because I was in the bedroom with the door closed. I would go for, you know, I just all the time. I wanted to know God. I didn't know any other way to take time to get to know Him. I used to go to church because I knew God. I didn't go to church to find out about Him.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I went to church and I could preach better sermons than the pastor did because he knew less. He didn't spend time. The only time he ever got before God was get a sermon on Sunday and then tell us how he went down to the dungeon. And he's down there struggling with God to get a sermon. Say, why don't you use your gifts? He didn't know how to walk with faith. He didn't know how to believe God to get a message. Man, you know what? I got 17 messages. What I got to do is figure out which one I'm supposed to preach. That's what I do. What are we talking about? I could, you know, because God gives revelation. I don't go, you know, people say God don't talk to you. I don't go all the time. Revelation's coming. Things come. Why? You point yourself toward the Word.
Amen.
And stuff gets revealed. I mean, it's just the way it is.
Amen.
It's not some hard thing. You don't need to have, you know, it's like you get accustomed of living, setting yourself toward the Lord rather than things around you all the time. You got to do that. You just have to do that. You have to do it. You know, I go to bed at night. When I first go to bed at night, I lay there and I'll pray in tongues some, but I get myself quiet. And I'll tell you, in heaven, God will start to reveal stuff to me. Stuff will start coming up in me. Things start coming. I'll get over. What I do is, I, like last night, I was thinking about these scriptures we're going to do, but I want to know what God wants to say about them. What does He want to do with them? You know, we could teach a lot of different things from these ones we looked at. But what does God want to say? See, as God wants, and the Lord told me, He said, I want to get to my people where they'll learn to listen and not just up and go because somebody says pray. That they'll, what do I want to do? Well, number one, I know this. Number one, if they want something the Bible says that men can have, then God wants them to have that. And to go through religious motions and they don't is stupid. Just playing games, acting like we're religious. You know. God wants them to have it. Do they know that? And do you know that? Do you know that He really wants them to have it? How do we act when they come and ask? Or do we act like, hey, you know, God wants you to have that? Do you know how to get it? We have this idea, well, if I just pray, pray's the great magic wand of everything. Prayer is a powerful thing when it's used by faith and it's used right.
Amen.
Prayer is a worthless than your spit if it's just another religious thing of blowing out, you know, some stuff and things. It's not worth nothing. It's not worth a thing. It produces nothing. See, one thing as I see, Jesus didn't waste His time with ministry. We've all wasted our time on something.
Amen.
We've all wasted our time. Randall Greer has a teaching series. You can go on his site and buy it. It's called How to Waste Your Time Praying. Every Christian should listen to it. And they'd find out why a lot hasn't worked in their life and why things haven't. Hallelujah. You see, it's like I learned from when I was a young Christian, when the Lord dealt with me, He said one day, and this is what I was just a very young Christian when He said this. He said, did you notice? He said, I never prayed about animate objects. I said, no, I didn't notice that. Never heard anybody teach it. See, he didn't pray about trees. He didn't pray about storms. He didn't do anything. He spoke to them.
Mm-hmm.
See, I never pray about weather. I never pray. I just tell it what I want. See, he told me, he said, in the end times, he said, weather conditions are going to get worse. Things are going to happen. And he said, don't let the devil tear up your property. He didn't say, I'm going to take care of your property. He said, that's yours. You take care of it.
Amen.
You don't let the devil. He's tearing it up. You're letting the devil tear it up. You need to get yourself over where you walk under the authority you have. See, he told me, he said, don't let the devil tear up your property. So I took that very seriously. I walked out around my property and this is mine. Devil, this ain't yours. You know what I say? They're talking about all these high winds that are going to blow. We don't get them, do we? I just say, devil, you ain't tearing up my property. I can't protect everybody else's, but I can protect mine.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Preach.
See, don't come and ask me to pray for your property when you can't stand.
Preach.
No, I'll tell you. See, why? God's given you the authority.
Amen.
We're sitting around and praying. No, you talk. I've learned to talk. I've learned to talk to weather. I've seen weather. I've seen storm. I've talked to it. You know, I like all these people. They like sunny days all the time. You know, you need some rainy days. Help. I've got good sense. Sometimes I'm going to do something and we need rain. And I think, you know, it can go ahead and rain. I can do whatever I want to do some other time. Mm-hmm. Most Christians are so selfish and self-centered. They'd rather have all the corn die in the field so they can have another sunny day. Because, see, I'm doing something really important. Oh, I don't know why God brings this stuff to me. I don't talk about it. No, but see, this is why things don't work. See, this is just about care and love for others. See, you can't not walk in love and you have faith. You know, if the farmer needs rain on his field, it'll put up with some rain days. I can have a picnic anytime.
Amen. Preach.
I can go do something. I can do that. I can miss a day at the Hershey Park. Say, but we have tickets. I don't give a rip. If God can't supply another ticket, he's so darn cheap, he needs to stay at home.
Mm-hmm. Preach.
Oh, we can't do that. You know. I have my special days. And, you know, Jesus, you need to bow to my special days. Oh, I don't know why I'm going to. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.
But I want you to think about, you know, see, when things become a reality in your life. See, I would love to think about that. If somebody else needs something, you know, you got to turn around and walk in love. Just the way it is. You learn to do that. Life gets real simple. Ain't hard. Decisions aren't hard. Hallelujah. Is it just about what I want? What does others need? What needs to be done? Because you know what? You're going to come into your day of need and it ain't going to come for you because why? You're going to reap what you sowed.
Amen.
And you're going to wonder, why didn't that work? I wonder why. I asked the Lord. Yeah, he's acting just like you. It's his day off. He's not coming. Hallelujah. Now, you know, this stuff sounds like hard things today, but you know what? This is the stuff that people that knew nothing about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and things, this is the way people walked and lived when I was a kid. It's the way they were. They understood what was important in life, and they understood they weren't the most important in life. They understood that. They knew everybody didn't get a trophy, and they knew everybody wasn't supposed to have one. They knew and they understood things. We don't get today. Because why? We follow this American culture, which much of it is demonic. All this so-called freedom junk and all this freedom is God's given us his freedom. Not the freedom we're operating in this nation. God never gave. The devil gives this kind of freedom. Selfish, self-centeredness. It's the devil gave, not God. But you know what? We want moves of God like those people had. There's one thing that they did have that we don't have today, and that's called integrity. You know, my parents had integrity. They would not have lied, cheated, stole for nothing. I mean, they'd rather been taken out and shot than do it. They were just integrity in life, doing what the right thing to do, you know. They would just do that. People were like that. I grew up around people just like that, you know. We don't have that today. People went out and worked hard. They didn't complain all the time what the other guy was doing or whatever. No, just what we're doing. But today, just a fussing and fighting and everything going on. They didn't have that. They didn't have that all that stuff. Why? Because the church has let this stuff in. The church has gotten open in this kind of freedom in America. We started preaching Constitution rather than Christ. We started preaching. We opened the church up. Blah, 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 our freedom and got behind all the political junk and everything else. And the nation has slowly slid and slid and slid and slid. Where today, you know, you can't, I mean, they can't be honest for nothing, you know. Oh boy, you know, I'm in charge now, you know, we're not going to turn around and just give them the spending they want on here. We're not going to move out. They don't do what we want in the border. And what happens? They already goofed it, gave it twice. And doing it again. Why? No honor. No honor. But you know what? The Christians will vote for him. Thinking it's going to change. You know what? I'm voting for Jesus this time. We need God to come and scare the hell out of America. And that's not being vulgar. Hell is running the show. In the church, in Christians' lives. See, we need to come back to this integrity thing and come back to this thing. We need to know what God's doing. Hallelujah. I tell you what, I don't know what to do right without Jesus. I don't know. I don't know how to make the right decisions. And you come to that point, you know, he's wise. And sometimes the word don't seem wise in a situation. It don't look like it's wise. But it's wise. Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, it's not always easy to lay down your flesh. It's just, man, if I do this, what if this don't work? It's because he's going to blow up on me. And I know you've never been there. Mm-hmm. You never walked in anything in your life then.
Amen.
We need to admit people are afraid God can't take care of them. We don't want to talk he's big. We've got to act like he's big.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Let's get over in the things and pick up and stand in this place. Begin to listen to God. Don't always do what people want. Listen. Mm-hmm. Somebody comes and asks you to pray, ask them some question. Mm-hmm. Ask them. Say, why are you coming to me asking to pray? What for? Well, I'm going to tell you what, I'll guarantee you this. Most Christians will get offended at you if you ask them a question. You question their faith, and those cute little things will get mad at you at a drop of a hat, those real spiritual people.
Amen. Preach.
If somebody can't question whether you stand in faith, I don't think you got much.
Amen.
Personally. You can question me where I stand. The time that I could tell you, though, people. It's number one. If I was in a place and somebody wanted me to believe something, I can't do. I'd tell them. Say, I'll just be honest with them. Mm-hmm. Well, you can do that one if you can. Go ahead, you go. But you know, you play games with people. You play games. It's going to cost you dearly. It'll cost you dearly in your Christian life, because what happens? You'll pick up a pattern of that even with yourself. We just go through this rote thing, you know, that we're going through these things and we call it Christian. We have to do better than that. You have to be, you know, I don't know everything.
Amen.
And the more I learn, the more I realize I don't know everything. Dear God. Hallelujah. Like Brother Hagin used to say to us, he'd say, you know, I can't believe I know so little. What about you? And I'd always say, ouch. Well, he's right. But I know where he's coming from with people. God's given me a lot of wonderful revelation, but you still come to the place of, my God, I just can't imagine that we're under the authority of a God who knows everything, never gets another new thought, does it? He knows everything. If we went 500 trillion years in the future, he already knows it. He knows its outcome. And we're squabbling around about trusting him. I mean, how childish can we get? I mean, think about it. We talk about how big he is, but you know what? You got to come to the place that isn't something said, it's something you believe.
Amen.
I don't care if the Bible says how big he is. It don't matter. You can rejoice over it because the Bible says it. But I'll tell you, it does no more for us than we can believe it. And act like it's true.
Amen.
And I'll tell you what, if you're like me, there's times you may struggle.
Amen.
To believe it's true. You get into a situation and say, yeah, he's really big, but look what if I do this.
Amen.
It's easy to shout when it's all looking good. This is where the rubber hits the road. And every one of us face it. Why? Because you have flesh.
Amen.
And your flesh recoils at what it can't see, touch, taste. So, and it recoils. And you find out how powerful your flesh is to what the Bible says. The Bible says you're healed. Well, I don't feel it. Immediately move to the flesh. Immediately ask the flesh what it wants. Immediately move over to that. Always remember this. God's dealing with you. He's always going to move you toward faith. If things aren't working, I just want to say, it's because you're not moving toward faith. If you listen to God, He will always do whatever He can to get you to the place you can have what you want.
Amen.
I have never found one time that God did not try to always move me to the place to give me what I wanted. Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give it to you. Does it sound like it's getting held back by them in any way? Did Jesus lie when He said that? Whatever you ask in my name? See, we need to come to this place. I say we should never treat prayer in a frivolous way where people just go, oh, pray for me on this and pray for me for that. You know, I always thought it was funny. Kenneth Hagin talked about a church. He stands at the door shaking hands with people. And he said, a guy walks up and says, pray for me. And he held on his hand. And he said, pray for you for what? And he said, the guy just stuttered around and just stuttered around. He said, well, you know. And he said, well, what do you want me to pray for? You don't want me to pray to die? You want to pray? What do you want me to pray for? See, this so-called spiritual stuff. Oh, just pray for me. Pray for me. You know, people used to get up and do testimony meetings. They get up, pray for me that I might prove faithful to the end. And they'd do that every Wednesday night. Say, why, didn't it work last time we prayed? They didn't believe no more. These were all talk things that people, religious lingo, people use and actually think it's faith. Actually think it's faith. Yet there's no faith involved in it at all. We're trying to inspire other people to think we're smart. To make them think we're spiritual. It's like Jesus said, why do you call me good? The only one good is God. He said that as a man in the earth who was perfect. So there's a good chance there's nobody good but God. Don't call me good. I'm going to go the Jesus route. And it is. But this good God has placed you under His authority. What are you doing with it?
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Are you just throwing, are you casting pearls before swine? Are you stopping people? Say, hey, hold it. People want prayer. Prayer for what? Many times people have wanted healing and are not even in a position to receive it. And we're praying for their healing. We wonder why it ain't going to work. Till the person comes to the place where they can respond to it.
Mm-hmm.
But we just keep going on and on and on and on and on with all this stuff. And we do all these things. And it's spiritual. We're praying. That's, well, it must be glorious because we're praying. The prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise them up.
Hallelujah.
We want to bring people to the place of faith. Always do that. Talk to people about it. If they don't want to talk about it, there's not many points. What do you care they're mad at you about telling them the truth? What? Does that bother you?
Amen.
It does bother most Christians to say anything to an individual. God says, pray for me. See, do you really mean it? See, one time I was a young Christian. I work in HP Reyes Candy Company. This woman always coming to me and asking my, and you know, she's living like a whore. She comes out of family's Christian. You know, she's doing guys and, you know, so, well, they come out to me and ask me to pray. You know, she'd have a problem. She'd ask me to pray. So I got tired of it. One day she walked up and asked me to pray. Hey, pray for me about this. And then she'd wander off. She went, pray me. I grabbed her by the arm, jerked her back here. Okay. And I just started praying out loud, just right there. Well, my God, she didn't know what to do. She stopped that nonsense because that's what it was all nonsense. Mm-hmm. You know, God, I'm living like hell. I know they need to walk with you. Let's get Ed to wave the wand and fix my problems. I just showed her. Hold it. God knows what you're doing. Mm-hmm. She knows. She ain't going to play in that game no more.
Amen.
We think it's sweet because these people live like hell and they come and ask us to pray. Why? They know they're living like hell. They came and asked you because they know they're hell on wheels.
That's right.
And they come and say, you wave the wand for me so I can keep living like hell on wheels. We don't stop and say, I wanted to pray for you for what? So you keep doing what you're doing, the devil kill you? What do we want to do here?
Great,
what do you want to do here with this?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Great preaching.
Well, if I said that around my kid, they wouldn't talk to him anymore. Praise God. They might have to talk to God. It ain't working with you. The best thing they can do is find somebody it works with. See, we're trying to draw people to us. I don't tell you, let's draw them to Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God has the answers. I encourage you, sit down and study the Word. Study the Bible and look at Jesus. There's 19 different places in the Gospels of individuals. Now, some of them are in the same one, like Matthew and Mark and Luke did a lot of the same ones. But there's actually 19 individuals. And I think there's only two of them that don't mess him specifically about their faith. But the rest of them, all the things is dealing with individuals. And these, now understand, these are covenant people. They're all under their... He's dealing with them with their faith. Every time their faith is mentioned specifically to the outcome of their healing. You need to sit down and study that stuff. See, I've looked at it. I thought, well, if faith is in this thing, then I need to know whether I'm in faith. Do you know that if you're in the Bible says, you need to check to see if you're in the faith.
Amen.
Are you?
Amen.
Do you know whether you're really believing what you say you want? Do you know that? If you don't, you're in trouble. You have to know. You got to know. I don't know other way than I have to know myself. See, you got to learn to know yourself. We're trying to know everybody else and everything about everybody. Wonder why this and why that. What about you?
Amen.
See, you need to know about your ability to believe. Yours. You can't develop your faith if you don't know where you stand. Where do you stand? How do you develop it if you don't know? You know, you wouldn't go out here and say, I need some help in math. I'm going to take a math course. So I'm going to go do trigonometry. Yeah, but you can't even do, you know, fractions. I mean, you better know where you're at before you go take a class.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Christian. They read the Bible, don't even have a clue where their faith's at. And they're looking around in here. You know, they want to know who the Antichrist is. And they don't even know if they could walk next door without a rock hitting them on the head. Well, it is. I mean, it's like, know where you're at in your place and then study according to that. You know, one thing, I never pick subjects of the Bible on my own. God's always given me things that I needed to know. And I'd get a sense to go in there and I'd find out, oh, man, he's showing things to me in that area. You generally don't get that in reading through the Bible. You know, how many people read through the Bible every year and have a good study? That isn't what it is. It do you good to have a good study. It's fine to read the Bible and know it in general, but you need to get some good study. You need to sit down. There's nothing wrong. Reading the Bible is good. Know the Bible. I've read through it a number of times, but I don't read through it every year or anything like that. There's spots that I get stuck in and spend months in areas of the Bible on certain things, and I get stuck around in it. Why? Because it's talking to me. You find out what talks to you. You ought to have things, especially on teachings, whether it's things on CDs or MP3s that you got on things, or books. You ought to have stuff that somebody taught that speaks to you. You ought to have around. I have books that I go through all the time, that I'll get all the time. Why? Because there's certain things that speak to me. What sometimes may speak to me may not speak to you in the same way. So you got to find out what's God speaking to you through, and you need to keep it around you. She's like healing. There's healing things in that stuff. I have one series by Kenneth Hagin. I keep on my car all the time. It's there all the time. And I'm just, for the 500th time, starting to listen to it again. Why? God's talking healing right now. He's talking healing right now. You want to move a God? Jesus, teach, preach, and heal. You want a revival? It's going to be healing. You want to get into it, then you ought to be into healing. It ought to be something you're going after, something you're reading about, something you're studying about, something you're... Because why? God's moving in that area. Tell him we don't need healing in this nation? Dear God. how to mess with this COVID going on and all this stuff in the church, average church, they can't do a thing about it. The devil just run everybody over.
Yep.
Why? Oh, we believe in healing. We believe God's big. We just know how to get it. Oh, yeah, we say we do. We do faith. No, we need to get a place where we know how to take a hold of. And we need to know how to minister. This is God's nature is to heal.
Amen.
He redeemed us from the curse. Let's get over that. I know it sounds very repetitive, but we got to keep getting into this thing and hammering it till we can walk in it. Till we can deliver it to somebody else. We can take a hold of the guy in the ditch and we can pull him out.
That's right. Amen.
If your faith can't heal you, your faith can't heal them either.
Amen. Preach.
We need to face that.
Amen.
This is not criticism. It's life.
Mm-hmm.
Anything in life you don't know about, you can't help somebody else with it because you don't know about it. That's just the way life is. We have taken Christianity and put it into these certain special categories of things that's out different than the way everything else works. It's not like that. God created this earth, and the principles and laws that He established in the natural are reflections of things in the spiritual. And if you're dumb here in the natural, there's a good chance you're going to be dumb in the spiritual. Because I found this out. You get smart on the spiritual, you start getting wise about things around you. This is one thing to see, as I know, we're dealing, in the areas I feel bad for our government, we're dealing with a lot of dumb people. They don't know. They can't. Why? There's no spiritual contact. So the things in the natural, they don't know how to make decisions about it. The reflection, they can't see God on either side. Oh, they'll throw it out there and they'll say, let's have a prayer breakfast. Yeah, I went to prayer breakfast. It's all breakfast and no prayer. I've been to those. I've been invited to them. I don't know how many times ministers call me and we're having a prayer breakfast. I said, why do they call it prayer breakfast? I said, they're breakfast. I said, do you ever think about just getting together to pray? And I'm sorry, we just eat, you know. We tack a spiritual name to it, and then we'll make everybody think we're doing something special down there. Heck, if you don't watch them, they won't even pray over the food. Oh, I can meddle, I'll tell you. I just... Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The scripture says that you have the mind of Christ. You're not trying to get it. You have it. Now, what is the mind of Christ? Well, that's the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. The mind of Christ you have. Now, what you need to do is learn to hook up to it. One of the things that you will, the Holy Spirit moves and speaks in line of the Word of God. That's what He does. And so, one of the things this is why we want to learn and study the Word and things, because that's the groundwork where the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus Christ to us. That's how you take that mind that you have and you can put it on.
Amen.
Where it becomes the way you think. Hallelujah. See, we don't want just the Holy Ghost just to be smart. He wants you to be smart. He wants you to be wise in your decisions and your things.
Amen.
This is why it's learning to take time. We have a very fast-moving society and everybody wants something quick. This is why it's ministering to people lots of times. We need to put the brake on and slow things down. We need to learn to ask questions. We need to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, taking the time. Taking the time to listen. What's the Spirit saying? If He isn't saying anything, but listen, you know, take the time to, you know, what's the Holy Ghost saying about this thing? See, we don't have many times that wisdom today. You know, when I heard like Kenneth Hagin teaching us, he talked about, you know, people that, you know, prayer for healing. And he said, well, you know, I didn't pray for this person's healing because they weren't ready to receive healing. He said, I prayed for them. You know, one woman, he did a thing that really she didn't have any confidence. And he prayed God, she, you know, wouldn't throw away her confidence. That's what she needed to get straightened out so she could get over. See, we're trying to, I want to jump from no faith to right, get heal me. Even I have no faith over here. Let's just jump it. And we go and throw so-called faith over there to try to make that work and go from there to there, and it can't go from there to there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's Christians that won't follow God, won't go to church, won't sit and listen to teaching, asking people to pray for them for healing and stuff. We need to tell them, look, you're going to come and sit down and listen to the Word.
Preach.
You know, I get calls from people, you know, hey, we need help, we need food, we need this. I tell them, you come to church on Sunday. As I tell them this, if you don't learn to change your life, you're just going to be in the same mess you are all the time. I said, you just turn around and hand you something. If you won't come and sit down and listen so we can put some brains into you, then just, there's no point to this. See, this is people today. No, I'm just really doing a good deed. No, they're not. If they're not going to change, do we even care if people change? Just as long as we can do our thing. And no, so I always tell them, say, well, I'll see you at church on Sunday. We'll talk about this and see, you know, your life. Mm-hmm. See, we don't think in that manner. We think, well, this person has a need. Why do they have a need? Do you think God don't care why they have the need? Do you think He doesn't want that? Do you think God's idea is, hey, just let them stay like that. You just take care of them until they die and go to hell. Oh, we're willing to do that in the church world today. We're willing to fill their bellies and send them all off to hell. But we felt good. We fed them. Oh, we're such good people. Yeah. My God. Say, no. You got to stop. You need changed. Amen. You need changed. Now, I'm going to tell you, people ain't going to want it. I mean, I've had to deal with drug addicts and that stuff and say, deal with it. They want, no, I said, I can't. You need to get into a program. Well, I don't want to go into a program. Well, then next time you get some money, buy a box because they're going to put you in it.
That's right.
You don't want to make a change. No, nobody wants to do it. They won't listen to what anybody else says about it, that stuff. You know, I don't want to have to go anything where I have to give up my freedom. Oh, staying drugged up is real free. I tell you, that's free. That's your freedom? Well, then you keep living. When that freedom runs out on me, let me know. We'll talk about it then.
Yep. Amen.
They want freedom, but they don't want you to have it. They want you to take yours that you work for and give it to them for their freedom.
Yep. Right.
And the church has been very willing to do it. I always tell people, now we'll get you the program. We'll get you something hooked up. There's places and stuff you can do. Oh, I don't want to really do that. Well, then you don't really want to help. Goodbye.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You got to want to change.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Can't get help if you don't change. If you need help, then there must be something you need changed. Something you don't know about. Hallelujah. So I always tell God that. I need to change. Would you please show Ed something? I need to know something. Why? You can't change if you don't know what to do to change. And if you're in a problem, you ain't willing to listen to nobody else, well, stay in your trouble, dummy.
Mm-hmm. Preach.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Say, well, I believe the preacher was wrong. Well, hallelujah. Let me see. Get you right. I had people tell me, right? Well, you know, I know what you're saying, this and that and the other thing, but I don't believe it's like that. Well, has it worked for you? No, it hasn't. But you're wrong. Oh, yeah. I've had that numbers of times over the years. I'm wrong, but they can't get it fixed. No. Till people want to change, they're going to stay in their problem.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Preach.
God can't help you if you won't listen.
Amen.
That's right. That's right.
Why? Wow, he isn't making slaves. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're wise.
Amen. Thank you.
We all have wisdom in us. It's beyond this universe, beyond anything. It's already living inside of you. Hallelujah. Everything that God knows right here today is living inside of you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Just think, He's in there. He was put there. Jesus Christ said, hey, I'm going. I'm going to send this guy. I'm going to send one that's just like me. He's going to come and live in you. He's going to take what belongs to me. He's going to show it to you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's going to show you things to come. The future's not going to be hidden for you. The decisions you need to know for down the road are going to come to you. You're going to be able to walk in a place. See, this is the work of God in the church. This is what it's supposed to be. See, you know, I know this, the church never saw COVID coming. Because I know the church is so far off base. The prophets didn't know danger was ahead. They didn't know. Oh, but they can prophesy about elections. Oh, my God. Anything you needed help in, didn't know about it. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you what. You have the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You do. You do. Hallelujah. You have wisdom. You have protection for your future. It's inside of you. That wisdom's already in there right now. Father, I just want to thank you today that that wisdom is rising up in them in the name of Jesus. These ones are not ignorant today. Hallelujah. Lord God, they're here. And they're here for a purpose because they hunger and thirst for righteousness. They want more. They know that there's more to be had. Hallelujah. There's more to be understood. There's more to be comprehended. They know that. Hallelujah. And Father God, they want more. Father, I believe they... Lord God, we may have messed up in helping people, but it ain't because we wanted to or tried to. But Father, I thank you. You're giving us revelation. Lord God, to make some changes. Hallelujah. That your glory can be revealed. That you can reveal yourself and your loving kindness and mercy. Hallelujah. Because your great desire is to give people what you've promised in your word. You want them to have it. You're not the one holding back. You have never held back. Hallelujah. Lord God, we've held back many times. Lord God, just because, well, maybe just because of our immaturity. It isn't because we didn't want to be immature, but we just didn't know enough. And Lord God, we need more revelation. And Lord God, we may have had ignorance. Sometimes comes naturally just because you're in the place we're at, Lord, in our spiritual growth. But Father God, you know our hearts. We want to know. We want to understand. We're not pulling away from you. We're drawing close to you. Hallelujah. Lord, you said if we draw nigh to you, you'll draw nigh to us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that's what we're doing. We're walking in closer. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, I want to thank you. Thank you for taking the time to teach us. Thank you for taking the time, Lord, to instruct us. Thank you, Lord. I thank you so much for loving us so much to correct us. And I thank you for correcting me. I thank you, Lord God, for speaking into my life, Lord, and correcting. So, Lord God, it has never been to hurt me. It's always been so I could get a hold of the things you wanted me to have. And I just, Lord, I appreciate that so much. Hallelujah. I'm so glad because I know this. You're never out to get me.
Amen.
And you're never out to get your people. Hallelujah. You're always out to help. Always. The most phenomenal statement, Jesus, you said, we ask the Father anything in your name, he'd give it to us. Lord, what a statement to place us under such authority. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Lord God, those words have become so unpractical to the church world today. Of like, well, they make up excuses of what you meant. But you said a thing and you meant exactly what you said. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. Father, we're not going to use this great authority we're given in some frivolous thing. We're not going to turn it into some just religious thing. Father God, we're going to use the power of this name of Jesus Christ as the great tool, hallelujah, that we respond to it in faith, whether to speak the name over people or whether to pray and believe, Lord God, to ask the Father in your name. Whatever we might do, Lord God, we're going to do it by faith with great respect and honor to you, Lord God. That we're bringing honor to the name of Jesus Christ. That you're able to bring to pass in the life of every individual the things that you desire and want to. And Lord, I just want to pray today. Lord, Father, for these individuals standing before me, I thank you that you're strengthening them today with might by your Spirit in their inner man. I thank you, Lord God, that Christ is dwelling in their hearts by faith. They're rooted and grounded in love and able to comprehend with all the saints what's the height and length and depth and breadth of the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that they're filled with all the fullness of you. Hallelujah. Now unto you it's able to do exceedingly abundantly above what they ask or think according to the power that works within them. And we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, it's a biblical prayer and you receive it, it'll work in you.
Amen.
And it will do exactly that within you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Strengthened. You're being strengthened by the Holy Ghost today in the name of Jesus. God is building you up. Hallelujah. To stand in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, did you get anything? I did. I needed talk to today and God talked to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Live victoriously.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God bless you.